Okay, this will only work if you're honest. Most people in church are not honest. Okay, just bottom line. So you're going to have to be perfectly honest. Okay, you ready? How many of you guys would rather be sleeping in this morning? All right, we've got honest people in this room. How many of you guys would rather be on a golf course? All right, how many of you guys would rather be on a lake or out in the woods? All right, we're doing good. How many of you guys would rather be laying on a beach in Florida? You know, in the first service, they said Gulf Side or Atlantic Side. You know? How many of you guys would rather be sitting on a nest of fire ants than be in this room right now? Now, some of you are dishonest because some of you guys really don't want to be here. Right? A lot of people want to love God, but they hate church. Isn't that bottom line? And we've got a laundry list of reasons why we hate church. I mean, I just don't have the time. It's my only day for sleeping in, right? Or they might tell me to touch somebody. You ever been at a work service, guys, where you're standing up and they'll say, take the hand of the person next to you. I don't want to touch him. And then when you take his hand, he got the overgrip, right? And it's just wrong. Well, they always want your money. Or preacher doesn't know when to quit. Don't you hate long-winded preachers? Well, I know some of these people. I know them outside of church. They're not very nice. Church is always the same. Week after week, it's boring. Or church is just stuck in the past. It's really not relevant to me. And I know that this morning some of you guys are going to push back. Some of you guys are going to push back really hard. You're going to find a reason to dismiss what I say. And that's okay. I would ask that you give it a fair hearing and see if it has a ring of truth and see if in any of this God is nudging you. Just be honest with God this morning. Now, last week we started our P90 Chi Challenge. You've all heard of P90X, right? P90X, where you get this amazing body in 90 days. Some of you guys were even stupid enough to try it, right? It hurts. It doesn't work. I showed you last week. It doesn't work, okay? Some of you guys have found more success than I did. But in any case, we're changing the last letter. It's not our P90X. It's our P90 Chi. Chi is an early Christian symbol for Christ. 90 days to spiritual fitness. And it's a challenge. And last week we handed out these books. If you don't have one of these booklets and you still want to get involved in the P90 Chi Challenge, there's some out in the foyer. And they're spiritual exercises for the next 90 days that you commit to. And we honestly believe it'll make a difference in your life. If you're looking at the first two exercises, these are two of the easier ones to do. They're sometimes hard to understand. First two exercises. Number one is this. I will be in corporate worship. I will be in church every week for the next 90 days. Okay? Number two is I'll be a participant. I'm going to participate in worship. I'm not just going to spectate or be there to be a critic. I'm actually going to try to worship God in the worship service. Now, this is pretty basic stuff. But the bottom line is that we don't buy it. And Christians don't buy it. And I've seen studies that will tell you that the average church member, I'm not talking about people who believe in God but don't go to church. I'm talking about the average church member attends church about 1.7 times per month. And I've seen other studies that say that that's way too high. That most church members don't come that much. Now, I don't know what the numbers are here at Capital City, but here are a couple of things I do know. I know that we print over 1,400 name badges every week. Now, you get a name badge when you come here often enough that we believe that this is your home church. You've told us you want a name badge or you've come here frequently enough and we've noticed that we think that this is your home now, your church home, even if you haven't actually signed up as a member. Okay? We print something over 1,400 name badges. We know that our weekly attendance for the year so far is about 700. Some people come every week, and so this number 1.7 is probably not too far off. And we know that Capital City does better than most churches. Okay? Here's the deal. If we believed this, that it was necessary for Christians to come to church every week, this place would have to be packed with chairs to the gills, all the way to the sides, tighten up our aisles, and we'd have to add a third service for the people in our church that consider themselves this their church home. We don't buy it. We don't buy this stuff. We don't really believe that weekly church is necessary for life with God and we don't really believe that weekly church will make our lives better. Even some of you guys who come here every week don't buy it. I mean, some of you guys are here because you were drug here, right? Some of you guys are here because you were shamed here. Some of you guys are here because your kids. You think it's good for your kids. You don't really buy, accept that it's going to be better for you, that it's necessary for your life with God. It's going to make your life better, but you're doing it for your kids' sake. Some of you guys are here out of duty, out of habit, grudging. Not because you genuinely believe that it's critical to your life with God or that it will make your life significantly better. And yet we put it right up front in our P90 Kai Challenge. First two exercises. Because we do believe here at Capital City that church, weekly worship with a Christian family, is critical to your spiritual health and well-being. We think it's necessary for your life with God, and we believe that it'll make your life better. We believe it's part of God's plan. We believe it's part of God's will, and that it's not arbitrary. He didn't just stick it in there to be a burden upon us. He thinks it will be good for us and make our lives better. I don't have time this morning to go deep. All I'm going to have time to do is scratch the surface, because I'm going to talk about a lot of different things this morning. And I'm going to try to explain why we do church Sundays every week, and I'm going to try to explain why we do what we do in church. Some of these may not be your questions. If they're your questions, I hope it'll give you just kind of a clue to the answer that you can kind of follow down that path. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to deal with a series of questions. First question is this: why Sunday? Why Sunday? I mean, we're talking about trying to build Christ-driven 24/7 Christians. That means that you're driven by Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's all week long, right? And so if you're trying to do life with God all week long, why do you have to set aside one day and do this kind of thing? Why is Sunday special for us? In the Old Testament, it wasn't Sunday. In the Old Testament, it was Sabbath. It was Saturday, right? In fact, it's right there in the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment says this: remember to observe the Sabbath day. Sabbath just means seventh. Remember to observe Saturday to keep it holy. 6 days are set apart for your daily duties, regular work. The seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. One of the Ten Commandments. We Christians don't do Sabbath. We don't follow that fourth of the Ten Commandments. You know why? Because from the very first, Christians decided that we're going to celebrate Resurrection Day. Not Saturday, but Resurrection Day. And so the earliest Christians in the Bible and in the years following the Bible, they started talking about the Lord's Day, Sunday. They started talking about the first day of the week when we come together to worship, Sunday. They started even talking about the eighth day. That one sounds kind of weird. It's not that they had an eight-day week. It's the day after Sabbath, the first day of the week. Christians celebrated the eighth day. And for 2,000 years, we Christians have gathered to worship God on Resurrection Day, to celebrate His resurrection. Now, here's the second question. Let's just say you've got Sunday as a special day. Why do you have to do it here? Why do you have to do it with other Christians? You know, why not just spend an hour at home each Sunday to read the Bible and pray? Or why not spend an hour out in the woods or on the lake with God? Because I know that a lot of you guys feel closer to God in the woods or on a lake than you do feel close to God in here. Isn't that right? And I know some of you guys do. You've told me that. Or why not just turn on the TV set and watch John Weiss over at Southland or Joe Osteen down in Texas? Because their music's going to be better and the preaching's going to be better and the sofa's going to be more comfortable and you can stay in your pajamas. Right? I don't have time to lay out the full case for church this morning. It's powerful, it's persuasive, and it's biblical. I just want to point out a couple of no-brainers to get us started. In the New Testament, in the Bible, there is no evidence at all of a single Christian who wasn't plugged in to a church family. There were no Lone Ranger Christians in the New Testament. When you embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord, you became part of family. When you accepted Christ, you belong to family. In fact, we use this line here sometimes. I didn't make it up. I actually stole it from a real early Christian and the way it was preached by an old preacher. He says, if the church ain't your mama, God ain't your daddy. If the church ain't your mama, God ain't your daddy. You know why? Because if we try to do life alone, we're always going to wander away from God. None of us is strong enough. None of us is good enough. None of us is smart enough to stay faithful to God trying to do it on our own. You know, just test it in your own life. You can see that. When we're alone, we tend to push God to the sidelines. When we're alone, there's no one to challenge our stupid ideas and our stupid habits, and we've all got bunches of them. We are stronger together. We are smarter together. We are more faithful together than we can be alone. But there's still more to it than that. You see, church isn't just about that. In the Bible, it gives about 100 of what we call these one another verses. Those are things what God tells us to do with one another or for one another. You see, we kind of drag each other to heaven, right? And there's about 100 of these things where he tells us to do for one another or with one another. Things like this. It says, love one another, honor one another, confess your sins to one another, teach one another, encourage one another, carry one another's burdens, build one another up, be devoted to one another. It's a long list. And you can't do this list in the woods by yourself with God. You can't do this list in front of a television set watching someone else's TV service. The only way you can live out what God designed is shoulder to shoulder with real people on a regular basis. Third question, why every Sunday? Why is that important? Why can't I just check in at church once or twice a month, or maybe check in at church every once in a while when I feel like my spiritual gas tank is running dry? Come go get a boost and then go out on my own again. I don't know why God picked one day out of seven. I just know that he did. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, first part of Genesis, it says that God created the earth in 6 days. Remember what he did on the seventh? He rested, and then he used that as a pattern for the way that we were to shape our lives. Built right into the Ten Commandments, that fourth commandment. 6 days a week, you're to set apart for your daily duties and your regular work. The seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. He built that rhythm into us right at the very beginning. You know, the fact is, why would I only come when I feel myself drifting? When if I stay there, I won't drift. We're stronger together. And God built that into the rhythm of our life with him. Why Sunday? Because it's Resurrection Day. Why here? Because God didn't design us to go it alone. Why every Sunday? Because this rhythm makes our whole life God-honoring and God-centered. And that's why it's our first exercise in this P90 Chi Challenge. I will commit to being in corporate worship somewhere every week. Now, the P90 Chi Challenge is to do it for 90 days, but our sinister plan is that it'll go longer than that. We want to make it a habit. We think if you do it for 90 days, it'll be built into the rhythm of your life and you'll keep on going and it'll keep you straight. Second exercise of the P90 Chi Challenge. I'll be a participant. I won't be a spectator and I won't be a critic. I mean, there'll be things you don't like, but I'm not going to come to church to find what I don't like. I'm going to come to church to honor God. I'm going to come to church to participate in worship. And I'm going to tell you it's not always easy to do, because I don't like everything we do in church. Do you? Maybe you're nicer than me, and most of you probably are, because really I'm not very nice at all. But the point is, most of us don't like some of what we do in church. I don't particularly like to sing. There's some songs that are okay. In fact, we sang a few songs when we opened up the service. I liked one of them. We sang Free, right? But for the most part, I don't particularly enjoy church music. I tolerate it. Listening to sermons, that's painful. It is. I mean, I think it's always part of God's sense of humor that he called me to be a preacher when I hate preachers. Right? I hate listening to preachers talk. It's just one of those things that has boggled my mind any number of times. In fact, I think it may be one of the stations of hell, where you have to sit and listen to a preacher who didn't make it to heaven as he rambles on about some passage for a century or two. That's a pretty good station of hell, isn't it? And the offering. Every week we pass this little plate and the guilt rises up inside of you. I mean, if I don't put anything inside, I'm going to look bad. So I'm trying to calculate how little I can put in to avoid the embarrassment of my neighbors and to keep God off my back. Right? Lord's Supper, well, that's not so bad. Oh, it would be nice if there was a little more to eat and if the menu was a little broader. Right? Bread had a little bit of taste. The juice wasn't so stale. And every week gets a little monotonous sometimes, right? Well, I'm going to start off with the music. Then I'll tackle the Lord's Supper and the offering and the sermon a little bit later on with just a little bit of snips as we try to explain why we do what we do, why it's important to us. I know I'm kind of weird. I really am in a lot of different ways, but music is not a big part of my life. It's not. Now, I play the cello. and I can carry a tune. But the fact is, if you go to my truck and you turn on the radio, you're going to find all talk stations. You're not going to find any music stations. If you ask me where the Christian stations are, I don't have a clue. I don't listen to music during the week. If you go check my phone, you know, it's got that little iTunes thing in there, and you check to see if I've got any music. I do, but I don't know what it is because I don't listen to it, right? I don't listen to music during the week. Rarely go to concerts. Went to the one last Friday because our kids were playing, and they were quite good. It was fun because I love the kids. But about the only time I'm really around music every week is Sunday morning inside this room. It's not a big part of my life. And for the most part, I can take it or leave it because music is not what draws me to God. Is that okay? God made us all different. Music is not what draws me to God, but it draws a lot of you close to God. I mean, I can see it in your eyes. I can hear it in your voices. I know it's the way you're wired. Most people are drawn through music. I mean, all different kinds of music. It's just a part of our life. And you see, the deal is when we come to worship, there's an order. We come to honor God first. We come to worship for our neighbors second. And we take care of ourselves last. Do you buy that? We honor God first. We take care of our neighbors second. And we worship for ourselves last. And people of God have always found all kinds of solace and strength in music. I mean, there's a whole hymn book in the Old Testament called Psalms. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. And I wanted to point out that it says, sing to the Lord a new song, not just old stuff. New Testament says, when you meet together, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as you praise the Lord with all of your heart. And so we do. And it draws a lot of people close to God, and that's cool. Which is why I try to invest myself in the music part of the service, even though it isn't the part that personally stirs me most. Now I'm going to say the next things very, very quickly, but I want you to listen very, very slowly. Okay? I'm going to say them fast. But listen carefully, because this stuff is really, really important, I think. I'm going to ask three questions, and I'm going to give you the answers, I hope. You tell me whether they ring true. Number one, what kind of music should you sing in church? Are you ready? God doesn't care. Is that fair? God does not prefer classical music over rock. God does not prefer praise songs over hymns. Now, I'm not positive about this one, but I'm pretty sure that God doesn't even hate rap. Right? It's not about the kind of music. The style of music. Number two, what kind of instruments should you use in church? Are you ready? God doesn't care. He doesn't care. God doesn't prefer the organ, and he's not dazzled by drums. If you dig around in the Bible, you find out they used all different kinds of instruments in their worship of God. And God was pleased. Number three, how loud and how fast should music be in church? You know the answer. God doesn't care. God doesn't care. You are not going to sing a song so loud that God has got to go find his earmuffs. You're not going to sing a song so quiet that God has to strain to hear. The truth is, God really doesn't listen to our music at all. God is not entranced by the quality of your voices. He is not entranced by your skill on the guitar. God listens right past our voices to our hearts. Do you buy that? He's not dazzled by the music. He listens to their hearts. And so we try to pick a style of music that will engage the broadest number of people that we can, with an emphasis on the present and the future instead of the past. And we hope that it draws most of you in. More than that, we hope that our music honors God.
The P90 Chi Challenge says, I will be a participant in worship. Not a spectator, and not a critic. For you see, worship is not something that we sit and watch. It's something that we do. I want to give you three suggestions on how you can participate in our worship this morning. The first is pretty simple. Sing. Some of you guys just sit there and watch week after week. Trust me, I know, because I stand up here and sing and watch as you sit and watch. And don't open your mouths. Don't unfold your arms or anything like that. And you know, every once in a while, it's okay to sit and watch. Maybe you're feeling God's presence. Maybe the Spirit is speaking to you. And it's okay to drop out and stop singing when we're on the eighth chorus of the song for the 12th time or whatever it is. But you know, we're not singing to one another, are we? We're singing to God. So open your mouths and sing. And it really doesn't matter if you don't sing well. I mean, if you're really bad, you might want to do it quietly so that you don't distract your neighbor. But God doesn't care about the quality of your voice. He hears and He smiles when you're trying to love on Him. And secondly, when you're singing, listen. For you see, when we worship, we don't just sing with our mouths, but we also sing with our minds. Are you listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth? Are you listening to what you're telling God? And then third, own it. Make it yours. Sing with your mouth. Sing with your mind. Sing with your heart. Use the music, not just this morning, but each day that He gives us the opportunity to come together. Use that music to honor God. And we do that when it's done in our heart.
Now, I'm going to be 56 in a couple of months. So if you figure 3 meals a day for 56 years, it means that I've eaten something over 61,000 meals. That's a lot. And you know what? I still like them. I've never grown tired of eating. I've had pancakes thousands of times. Still love them. I've had thousands of hamburgers and steaks and still love them. I've had 25 or 30 salads. Still don't care much for them. But just because you do something over and over and over again doesn't mean it has to get boring. You know why I keep eating 3 meals a day? I mean, one reason is that if you stop eating, you die. But the truth is, we've got a really cool God. He gave us these neat little taste buds and these great teeth and this big old stomach. And then He created all of these foods that taste so good that it just doesn't get old. Now, I eat 20 or so meals a week, and I'm still looking forward to the next one. In fact, I'm grilling burgers for lunch. You're not invited. But the fact is, I'm looking forward to it already. Now, I was a Baptist for a while before I was in college. And since I've been in college, I've been in the Christian church. As a Baptist, we had Lord's Supper about once a quarter. Christian church, we have it every week. So I calculate that I've taken the Lord's Supper, I think, somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 times. That's a lot. But just because you do something over and over again doesn't mean it has to get boring. And I know the menu's not too exciting. The fact is, pretty much the same every single week. A little tiny piece of cracker and a little tiny spot of juice. The crackers are not very good and the juice is sometimes a little tight, bit ripe, right? Every once in a while I get really daring. You know, last week I got daring. We actually had real bread in the corners with, and you could dip it into the juice. That was kind of an exciting menu for the Lord's Supper. I'll admit the menu is pretty monotonous. It's not what makes the meal special, is it? When you guys who have kids and grandkids, especially grandparents, you ever tire of looking at pictures of your grandkids? I mean, I've got a bunch of pictures of my kids and grandkids under my glass in my office, and I've looked at those pictures thousands of times, and it has never grown old. Because they evoke memories, and they remind me of what is really the most precious. Every morning when I leave the house, I give Julie a kiss. Now, it's not usually a romantic kiss. She wants to be kissed on the end of the nose. That's weird, okay? It's a ritual, but it's a reminder to her, and it's a reminder to me that I love her and that I'm committed to her. I do it over and over and over again, and I don't consider it boring. It's part of the glue that binds us together. Some things don't get old. Jesus said to eat this meal to remember me. He says, eat this meal to connect with me, to reconnect with me. Every week in this meal, God reminds us how much He loves us. And that's dazzling. Jesus said, use bread that is broken because it represents my body that was broken for you. He says, use a little bit of grape juice because it looks like blood. And it'll help you remember the blood that I shed for you. Every week we gather around this table to remember a story that does not grow old. Every week we taste grace all over again. Every week when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we make the story our own all over again. And I hope for you it will never get old, because it helps us remember how much He loves us. And I am absolutely amazed by God's grace. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, for this table that was prepared for us, we give you thanks. We did nothing to deserve it. It's all grace. For the chance to reconnect with you, we give you thanks. And we pray that in this bread and in this cup, you will be honored as we are loving you back. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I often wonder if this next part of worship is sometimes the hardest part when it comes time for offering. Because there's so much week or month still ahead, and we know where our balance is in our wallet or our checkbook, and so it makes it tough sometimes. And so a lot of us don't look forward to it. And you know, I believe if we were to announce at the end of our service this morning that starting next Sunday we were going to have a six-part series on giving, that probably at the end of that 6 weeks a lot of you would have chosen to skip out on the last three or four of them. Some people don't like us talking about money. But we do collect an offering every week. And even though they don't like it, and sometimes we feel guilty about it, we do it anyway because we believe that giving money is a necessary part of our worship. Yes, it's necessary because it pays our salaries. Even if all we do is check our email and sing a few songs once a week, it does pay our salaries. And it's necessary because it pays the bills. It costs a lot to cool this place for you. You like that, don't you? And you like it warm in the winter. And you like having lights on. I mean, it does make it tough to look at Doc, but you do prefer the lights on in the building. And to have a facility this size, finances are required to pay for it. And it's necessary because it funds our programs, the things that Clinton's doing down in the gym with our kids, the things that Mike's doing across the hallway with our junior high and high school kids, the things that so many are involved in here. It funds the programs. And all of that is true. Money is needed for that. But the most important reason we give is so that we can keep our priorities straight. You see, I truly believe that you can measure a person's heart when you look at their checkbook. You can measure what a person loves by following where their money goes. For you see, our hearts are connected either to our wallets or our checkbook. And so we give to remind ourselves that it is all His anyway. Everything that we have belongs to Him, doesn't it? And we give because He deserves our very best. And we give to remind ourselves to put Him first in everything. Because we know that building His kingdom, is even more exhilarating than building our own. And we give because it is one more way to love Jesus back. Would you pray with me? God, again, we thank you for these few moments to share. We thank you for the blessings of life that you have poured out upon us. God, so many times we think about that during this time of our service. And we say thank you for those blessings. But Lord, I often wonder how many times we really stop and ponder the blessings that you have given to us. And we are thankful for what you have done, for awaking us to a new and beautiful day, for providing us all that you have done, for giving us what you have given to us. And I pray, Lord, that each and every day we use it to benefit you, to bring glory to you and your Son. And this morning, Lord, as we pause at this time in our service to give back to you, I pray that, Lord, the words that I've just shared will fall upon listening ears. That, God, it all belongs to you. Help us understand that. Help me to understand that it all belongs to you. You've given it to me to manage for a period of time while I'm on this earth, but it truly all belongs to you. So, Lord, help me as well. Be willing to give it all to you because it's yours. And then, God, we're going to ask you to bless it, to multiply it, to use it, to build your kingdom. For God, that's what we all desire. is that we are just part of a kingdom building experience here at this church, so that more may come to know you as Lord and Savior, so that more may join us that day when we celebrate around your throne. Bless these gifts we seek in the name of your Son and our Savior. Amen.
We're almost done. Almost. Just a couple more little things. You know, our purpose this morning was to kind of explain why we're here and why we do what we do when we're here. And I don't have the time to really to lay out why we have sermons every week. Some people like them, some people don't. But digging in the Word has always been a part of the worship of the people of God, Old Testament and New. And I love the way that the Message translates one verse in 1 Corinthians. It puts it like this. God in His wisdom took delight in using what the world considers dumb, preaching of all things, to bring those who trust Him into the way of salvation. Sometimes God uses strange ways to do His work. One of the greatest preachers, a lot of times, you know something about the preacher and you wonder whether you ought to listen to him. One of the greatest preachers, Haddon Robinson, has this quote, and I like it. I keep it in my office. He prayed in front of the people right before he preached. He says, if these people knew about me what you know about me, they wouldn't listen to a word I say. And he's right. And yet if preaching is good and we come face to face with God's truth, and the fact is God's truth has power. And it changes us for the better, doesn't it? But I'm out of time, so I'm not going to talk about the sermon. I'm just going to leave you with a challenge. That's all I'm going to do. When I was out at Saddleback for a pastor's conference last winter, they had this challenge that they wanted us to take up. And this was their Radicalis Declaration. This is the challenge they had us do. And it's long. It's a long thing to read. I'm not going to have you do this whole thing, but you know, as I was reading through it, I began to realize this isn't a challenge just for ministers. This is just a challenge for Christians. And God challenges Christians to go all in. I mean, wherever He calls us, whatever He wants us to do, just to go all in. And that's what this challenge is all about. And so I'm going to read just a couple of paragraphs of this challenge. And if you're not ready to make this commitment today, don't. Please don't. I don't want you to say something that you don't mean. Right? I'll come back to it over the next several weeks. I'm going to use different pieces of this challenge as part of our commitment time. And so you'll have a chance to do it later if you just want to listen to it first. Because I take these kind of words seriously. We're making this a statement not just to each other, but we're making a statement to our God. All right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these just kind of like a vow. I'm going to read the line, and if you like it, you think you can say it, then you say it after me. If you rather hold off on that one right now, please don't say it. Because these are things that we're saying to our God. Okay? Are you ready? Today I'm stepping across the line. If you want to say it, you... I am going God's way. Turning back. I will live the rest of my life serving God's purposes. People for God's glory. Listen to these words carefully. I will use my life to celebrate His presence. Cultivate His character. Participate in His family. Demonstrate His love. And communicate His word. Pay allegiance to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Say this to Jesus. However, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do. My answer is yes. Anytime, any way, whatever it takes. Be used by you in such a way that when I stand before you, I will hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. I think that's for all of us, isn't it? He wants us to go all in. You think it'll make a difference in your life? You do? You think it'll hurt you? Think it'll hurt your family? God didn't design this thing to pin us down. He designed this thing to set us free. So I want you to think about that hard. Like I said, I'm going to come back to that the next couple of weeks and give you another opportunity. And I'll bring in pieces, different pieces of this Radicalis Declaration for us to commit together. If there are those of you in this room that are not Christians at all, you just got to get started. I mean, why would you wait on what is perfect and good? And why would you put it off? And just do the right thing. You'll never regret it forever. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and after that, you're dismissed. But I'm just going to encourage you again. If you're not part of this P90 Chi Challenge, there's some more books out there in the foyer. You can pick one of those things up, and it's got exercises, spiritual exercises, to do every single day, some of them to do every single week, and a few of them just to complete over the course of 90 days. And our sermons for the next several weeks will be explaining the different pieces of this P90 Chi Challenge, like today was the ones on worship. So will you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we are so grateful for your grace. Because a lot of times every one of us knows the right thing and yet we struggle to do it. And we know that whenever we stumble and fall, you're always there for us. And for that kind of grace, for that kind of patience, for that kind of faithfulness, we give you thanks. And I pray, Lord, that for these next few days in this challenge, that you'll help us to step it up a level. To be the kind of people that you want us to be, the kind of people that we really want to be deep down inside. And if there are those, Lord, in this room that are not Christians at all, I pray that you help them to take that first step, make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, because that's where life really starts. In his name we pray. Amen.